The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Thursday. Gary, how are you?
Three strikes. Biden's out.
Wow. You see the... You and I both asked the question in our pre-show meeting, is this the beginning of the end? You had the Hyde Amendment thing, where he was all over the place on that. But people don't know the Hyde Amendment passed decades ago, and that's where federal funds can't be used for abortions. And he had done an interview where he said he had reversed his position on it, and then said no, he did not reverse his position on it, and then put out a statement that he did not reverse his position. But then the campaign said, but if things in the future, he could reverse his position again.
You know, I guess he thought it was going to be very easy.
I guess he thought
he was just going to walk right through it.
We said that, though. We said that the problem is going to be when Biden has to start taking positions on anything.
Right.
And so you had that. You had the plagiarism.
Well, did
and,
we...
And remember, in 88, he had plagiarism problems, too.
Right.
So the plagiarism thing's coming back up again. And then the whole criminal justice, you know, thing that he's been questioned about that and stumbling on that the last couple of days on the criminal justice, reform bill in the 90s that, you know, he helped sponsor and pass.
Right.
And so, but let's put it this way. If you're not for public support for abortions, I was going through the when I put it in. There were like three articles in a row, already op-ed pieces. He's not fit to run. He can't be a Democrat. The only thing that unites the Democrats, and by the way, we've said this before, and Democrats have got upset at us. You want proof of it? Go look at the editorial pages right now from Democrats. Biden is completely unfit to run for president, not because he objects to abortion, but because he objects to public funding, or has in the past. We have no idea what his position will be tomorrow on it. But as of right now, he is against public funding, taxpayer dollars, going for abortion. And look at the number of op-ed pieces already written. And how many will there be tomorrow and this weekend saying he is completely and totally unqualified to run for a Democrat? They are only united on one issue, and that's abortion.
Right.
Yeah. Abortion, really, and open borders. And it's funny because... When we said, you know, mainstream Democrats for open borders, even up to a couple of months ago, people would say, well, not all the Democrats. Now we can say all the Democrats.
Well, and I think that if their concern, obviously, abortion's number one right now, their concern is SCOTUS long term, right?
Yeah.
So if Biden gets in, and there's a possibility even that he nominates a moderate.
Oh, yeah.
They to can't replace have, a, right. a Ginsburg. They right. want a Ginsburg to replace a Ginsburg.
Right.
So.
To me, that's his.
That's the firewall.
To me, that being publicized over the last couple of days, it will be interesting to see whether that has any effect on his numbers over the next 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Because if they're willing to let this go, then, sorry, he's the nominee. I don't know why anybody else. If he gets past that, if he gets past all of this with this whole abortion thing, then he's in. Tell me what knocks him down. Aside from going to prison for something. Really?
Yeah.
If he survives this, then he's in. He's the nominee.
Right.
No way around it.
Right. The Ukraine thing, the China thing, none of that. That's his son. That's not going to stop.
No.
The only thing that really can stop you as a Democrat is the abortion issue.
Right.
Because that's where there is unity.
Right.
Killing babies is the only thing that unifies the Democrat Party.
Yes. Right now.
That's it.
Yep.
That's what unifies them.
Right.
There's really no other issue that unifies them anymore because of identity politics, as we have stated.
Right.
So it will be really interesting. When I saw that yesterday, I said, oh, boy, you know, what is going to happen now? And now is Biden. Look, if you've listened to this show, and believe me, we're no geniuses. That's why we refer ourselves as the idiots overnight and always say if the idiots can understand it, that the two idiots overnight can understand it, so can you, because the concepts aren't that hard. But if you've been listening to the show, you know we said this, a month ago, 2 months ago? We said Biden's problem will be when he has to start talking about the issues.
Right.
And he will stumble and fumble all over the place.
Yes.
That we said, look, in fact, we said, and by the way, we are looking like geniuses right now. Because
thank you.
We just got into June, and we had said if Biden can somehow even not announce and stay out of all the early debates and not hold any opinion, maybe till late summer, maybe even sneaking into the fall, that probably would be the best campaign advice that we could give him.
Yeah, well, I even entertained the idea. I don't know if we talked about this on the air. Entertained the idea of him just going, listen, I'd like to give all of these others. I'd like to hand my time over to the rest of them and give them their time during the debate. No, think about that.
I like
seriously.
That idea. I like that
because,
idea.
You know, there's like what? Now 120 of them. I lost count. I may be wrong. But imagine, you know, he just... Well, listen, I've been around for a long time in the political world, and people know what I think. I think it's time, out of fairness, I'm going to do the right thing and let them have the debate stage.
Well, and by the way, I said three things. He's up to four strikes now. Because remember, the first thing that, and this is before he really hit any of these things that he talked about, this was this past weekend.
Right.
The first thing that he would do if he became president, the number one most important thing for Biden, number one on his list. What do you think, folks?
Hmm.
What do you think? Jobs?
Hmm. No.
Make sure the economy is moving even better?
No. Firing your shotgun into the air on your balcony?
Second Amendment rights. Yeah.
Hey, if he wins, should everybody go outside and fire their guns into the air?
Federal liability protection from shotgun pellets falling down from the sky and hitting people? No.
Free insurance to make sure they can get the pellet wounds taken care of. Wow. Yeah, the Affordable Buckshot Act.
After
ABSA. You heard it first here on Red Eye Radio. Secret advisors to the Biden campaign.
After enough people are pulling pellets from their skin, the ban assault shotgun legislation.
Okay, no. All right. So now we've got to go to this. I don't know if you've seen it, but for some reason over the last week, there's this new thing. I don't know how new it is. I'm just seeing it on social media. It's a little gun. It's a long water gun looking thing. It shoots salt at flies. Okay? I'm going to order one. That's it. The look on your face right there, I'm going to Amazon right now. I'm going to order one. All right? And you put table salt in it. And the idea is you have fun if you're sitting out on your back porch and you got flies everywhere. Instead of swatting. Now, beyond that, they've made lasers for them. Aftermarket lasers. You can actually, you know, pinpoint the accuracy of your shot. I don't know how You scope the lasers, by the way.
You've got my retirement for me right there, sitting on the porch like Clint Eastwood.
Exactly.
On his
shooting flies.
On his front porch.
Shooting flies.
Drinking beers with my cooler right next to me with my laser-pointed salt gun shooting flies.
Well, here's the thing.
Get off my porch.
The clock is ticking. I'm waiting for it. AOC, she wants to ban salt weapons. Trust me. This is going to happen.
Assault? No, salt.
No, salt.
All right,
because sodium is bad for the flies. Not because it's dangerous.
It's
hurting animals.
Increasing the flies' blood pressure.
Yeah.
but no, it's four strikes on Biden because he came out again with the number one thing last weekend. The number one concern. That's why we brought all and probably everybody's like, "What? Come on, please tell us what's the number one concern." That men be able to say that they're women and it's legally protected in this country.
That's right.
That's the number one issue that Biden, and he said it. He said it last weekend. The number first thing he would do is get that Equality Act passed.
Which means that if you, the only enforcement mechanism can be this. If you, regardless of who you are in relation to that person, call them by the wrong pronoun, there has to be a punishment.
Yes.
It started in California. It's in place in California. Let's take it nationwide. Did he already talk about minimum wage or $15 an hour specifically? I think he may have mentioned it in an interview. I don't know if it's on his agenda yet, but that's going to be part of it too.
I have a question here. Mm-hmm. Why aren't the Democrats up to 30?
No, that's a great question. $15
an hour is not a lot to live in New York City or Los Angeles.
Right. I think we were talking to a listener a couple of weeks ago that said, you know, well, $15 an hour is, you know, not enough. You know, it was a conservative listener saying there's no way they'll just stick with 15. And that's true. Well, I mean, $1,000 a month per person, $24,000 a year, you know, per household. That's not enough either. It's not getting any attention. So,
well, wait a minute, but that's not $15 an hour from the government.
$15 an hour times 24. See, it's not about work, it's about living. Okay, we'll have to do that formula and see how much it would be a month. Exactly. Yeah. Does that include overtime? For doing nothing, you get time and a half. Seriously, because I'm considering retiring, sitting around with my salt gun, my salt weapon, killing flies.
We said it about 3-4 months ago. It's going to be a lot of fun shows because we get to talk about all the Democrat candidates that are running. You know, it's been, as we've said, I mean, the focus over the last couple of years obviously has been on Trump, and not that he still doesn't garner attention, but it's fun to see the insane things that are coming from the left. So we'll talk more about that coming up here. No deal with Mexico. Tariffs still on for Monday.
Okay, here we go.
By the way, just one thing.
Yeah.
If you hurt Mexico's economy, doesn't that increase the chance of more illegal immigrants from Mexico coming to the United States?
Isn't that the reason they're coming here? I mean, I know the cartels are a big part of it, but why? Well, hold on a second. Why are the cartels making money off of it?
Because
they're getting paid by people who want to come here to make a better living and a better life.
Now, that was brought up by
drugs.
Was brought up by a Republican, you know, yesterday. Look, the major thing is it takes the focus. We've said this about the administration from the very beginning. From the very beginning, since immigration was his thing, the president should have had a town hall every 2 months, and now maybe even when this all happening, every single month, and said, "I'm going to be on Fox. I'm going to be whoever would take it." But nationwide broadcast. He should have been pounding on this every single day. There should have been a focus on this. And when things got worse, there should have been more of a focus on it. The focus should be the Democrats. Because the reason that immigration is out of control is because of the United States courts and the Democrats. Other countries are going to do what other countries are going to do.
Right.
What can you really control? What can you really attempt to convince the American public that you can really get change? Another country, or the fact that it is their politicians that aren't doing the right thing?
Right.
You know, Wall Street Journal had a whole thing on the story out yesterday. Oh, they're going to stop the recreation time. The Trump administration. Well, that's because the Democrats aren't funding any of it.
Right. Yeah.
The Democrats won't fund it.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal, great editorial saying, why won't the Democrats fund it? Why won't the Democrats fund it? You need the Democrats to fund it, and they refuse to fund even humanitarian aid right now. Why? Because they believe that the chaos actually helps them. It's up to the president and the Republican Party to fight back against it, and they don't consistently. We've said this over and over again. You need to have a consistent message, and you need to have it all the time. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up, following the bottom of the hour, Joe Biden is at the beginning of the end. No deal with Mexico. The White House announcing last night, and the president announcing that things have not gone far enough. So as far as we know, the 5% tariffs will go on all Mexican products come Monday. Republican senators telling the White House and the president they are against it. We said this on yesterday's show, Eric, and I think it probably will come to be that we don't believe that the Republicans probably have enough to in the Senate to actually stop it. That there'll be enough Democrats aboard,
right?
That there'll be enough Republicans that will not go against the president on this. But again, who knows? And who knows, you know, what will happen actually on Monday or what will happen over the weekend on it. So we'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. Millennials admit that they are afraid of the doorbell.
There's a stand-up comedian that actually does this bit.
Yes.
That back in the day, during our time.
Yes.
When someone rang the doorbell, it was like, oh my goodness, we have visitors. You got excited.
Yes.
Today, you hide and turn off the TV.
Exactly. Americans view fake news as a bigger problem than terrorism. You know, I first saw that story and I went, well, come on. The two are, and I went, wait a minute. Hold it. Still 60% of Democrats believe that the Russians actually hacked into the election machines. When you have tens of millions of Americans that believe something that is absolutely not true, that has the ability to tear the country apart, and it's not true, and they believe it, you may have a point. We'll get to that. That was a bizarre response from Representative Omar. That on the way and a whole bunch more. But first, here's your national forecast.
Tropical moisture in the Gulf of Mexico from an area not expected to develop into a hurricane off South Texas is going to spread some heavy rain across areas already saturated. Flash flooding is certainly possible and expected in the lower delta of the Mississippi. Isolated severe thunderstorms, damaging winds, large hail possible with that system. We'll see Seattle under rain chances today, 62. Cheyenne, Wyoming, where there's been some very interesting weather this week, including large hail and tornadoes aloft, 76 today, the high, with a chance of thunderstorms. Phoenix, 102 and clear. Chicago, 63 and partly cloudy. As you get up into the northeast, we'll see heavy rain today from the New England states in through Boston and New York City. Lighter chances of rain extending from the mid-Atlantic into the Carolinas. There's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric, a little bit under the weather, so he had to leave. So it's just me and you here for the rest of the morning, and we hope that he is feeling better here in just a little bit and is okay to be back here tomorrow. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. This story I just love. Axios.com had it. Americans are more afraid of fake news. This is from a Pew Research Center poll. They're more afraid of fake news than terrorism. Now, what I love about this is the way that Axios does it, the way Axios writes a story. Why it matters. The survey finds that Americans feel more worried today about fake news because it's undermining their trust in key institutions like government and the media. The only issues that rank higher than made-up news and information as very big problems in the country today are drug addiction, the affordability of health care, the U.S. political system, and the income gap. By the numbers, an overwhelming majority of Americans, 68%, believe made-up news and information has a big impact on their trust in government, according to the survey. More than half of Americans say it impacts their confidence in Americans. More than half say it impacts their ability of political leaders to get work done. But more view that as a problem than terrorism. And when I first saw the headline today, I went, come on. And, oh, wait a minute, they're two different things. I went, hold it, wait a minute, though, because we've talked about this a lot. And we've talked about how the media just goes crazy when you accuse them of fake news. They just go nuts. And you say, well, wait a minute. Is there a problem? To all of my brothers and sisters in the media, is there a problem when still today 60% of Democrats polled, over 60% believe that the Russians hacked into the election machines? Three different polls done over the last 2 years on this. And all have been relatively the same in the 60% to like 60 to 66 percentile, where Americans, where Democrats believe that the election machines were actually hacked into. Never happened. It's changed everything. It's changed the way that we do our job. Our job is complete. My job, Eric's job, completely different than what it was just 10 years ago. We hardly ever have a discussion anymore of left versus right. We will have it on, you know, we'll have it on the air. But there really isn't a debate because we can never agree on the base argument to begin with. We can never agree on the facts. Their facts are always what they wish it to be. And we've always stated, I have no interest in discussing anything that isn't factual. And so what we've become, we had a call last week and the guy was, you know, really upset. And he wrote back and he said, you wouldn't let me finish. And I said, well, yeah, because the first thing, in the first 10 seconds, what you said was false. And we stop you there. Yeah, but you didn't let me finish my entire statement. Doesn't matter. You can't call. We're not going to let you give your entire statement starting out with something that is false. You may get furious. When we do that, we'll get a few responses. You're being rude. You cut the guy off. Yeah, because he was making stuff up. And we're not going to sit here and let somebody talk for a minute or two and spot out five lies and have to go through each and every one of them. But that's what the show has become. And if you listen to the show, you know that probably 95% of the time when somebody calls up and disagrees with us, we never talk about the disagreement. It's end up, well, wait a minute, that's not true. How many times have you heard that? That's not true. This is the way that it is. And so, yeah. When you have a significant portion of America that, and by the way, when we talk about fake news, there's also the problem of fake beliefs, because if people believe fake news and they have
fake beliefs. There's also the thing of the fact of, you know, as we call it, half-truths, where people will take half of a story and say, well, this is going on. Yeah, that's true, but the other half of it, the other half of the story, when you complete the sentence, it totally changes the context, for example, of what you're dealing with right there. And that's why we brought up to start out the week. That's why we brought up the whole nasty comment. Because look, that was a nothing burger. We really didn't care about the story at all. But we brought it up because it was a perfect example of how the media takes something. Well, the president did say that he called her nasty. Yeah, but there's two def, and we had to break it. We actually had to break down the definition of the word nasty. Say there's two definitions of the word, and in different context, it can mean you're mean, or it can mean you are repulsive. And in the context that the president put it in, it meant, I don't know why she's mean to me. It was absolutely clear, but the media was promoting it as if it was not. The other kind of fake news, as we have talked about, when we talk about the whole Russian collusion, is when you ask, you may not make the statement, but you ask the question over and over and over and over and over again. And Eric was the one that caught this some time ago. Because we were talking about Russian collusion one time, and I said the problem with appointing a special prosecutor is there was never a specific crime. Nobody could ever identify what the specific crime was. That, it was on June 4th, and June 4th, the 2016, and this is when Trump colluded with the Russians on that day by making a phone call and stating the fact that if the Russians would hack into the election machines, then he would give them $150 billion in frozen assets. Yeah, why'd I pick the $150 billion number? The Iran deal. That never existed. It was the general, and as I said, it was a general statement, and Eric said, actually, it was a question. And I thought that was great because it wasn't even a statement. It was always, did Trump collude with the Russians to hack the election? Well, how? And we really never got the how, and we found out that everything really came from the dossier. So, yeah, that's how things, it's how it's changed, I know, this business completely. Because we really don't debate. Now, we talk about it. We bring up the different ideologies. We have spent a lot of time in the show, for example, talking about the differences between capitalism and socialism. We really don't have the discussion with people that disagree with us because we can never even get to that point because the things that they believe when they call this show are roughly 95% of the time false. And so it's an impossibility to have any type of discussion. So, yeah, there you go. So one of the biggest fears Americans have is fake news, because information is important. That's why we've said, you know, when we catch Republicans or the president not telling the truth, that's why we call them out on that, especially when you don't have to do it. If you're a socialist, you have to lie. I don't have to lie. As a capitalist, I don't need to lie about anything. As a socialist, you have to lie. When you start putting in socialist programs, you have to lie. When you want a bigger social welfare state, you have to lie. You have to pretend things are going to be better than they are. When I'm a capitalist, I don't have to. Well, things may be tough in a capitalist society. Yep, so you need to work harder. And you need to work more hours. Maybe it's time to get another job. Yeah, but that's hard. Yep, but that's capitalism. There are no promises in capitalism. We don't promise you a guaranteed result. That's the difference. They want to promise you a guaranteed result. They can never fulfill that promise. That's why they have to lie to you. That's why President Obama lied over and over again for a period of years to Democrats that you could keep your doctor and you could keep your health care plan. They had to lie to you. They were afraid if they told you the truth, even about Obamacare, Which, again, as they said, that's just the point to get you to a true socialized healthcare system. Not even getting to the point of a socialist, a purely socialist healthcare system, just the bridge to that. They had to lie to you because they could not fulfill the promises, and they were afraid if they did not lie to you with a certain guaranteed outcome, then the Democrats wouldn't support it. And so we understand why we have become fact checkers, because as we become more of a socialist nation, as one party has completely adopted socialism, and as the other party, the Republican Party, in many fiscal ways, moves more socialist, especially when it comes maybe not to the economy and business, but when it comes to a social welfare state moving more socialistic that way, you're going to constantly debate truth versus non-truth, because they're going to have to make promises and they're going to have to make lies, because part of socialism is convincing you that there will be a guaranteed outcome of every program that they have that will make you satisfied that the government monopoly can control everything in your life. So there you go. Fake news. There was no other way to go. There was no other way to go. When you're heading to more socialist society, fake news is imperative. You cannot sell socialism. Hey, the first thing is socialism. You know, it was BS. It's for the worker. We're for the workers' party. Oh, did you see Elizabeth Warren? Going to unionize her staff, too? Like we said before, they have to. They have to, because you can't trust a socialist to treat the proletariat worker fairly. So you have to. You got to. That's why. And they're like bragging. This is great. No, all it shows is you can't trust a socialist. If you want to get in, lines are open now. Like I said, Eric had to leave. He was a little bit under the weather, and it was like, nah, go home, take care of yourself, get some rest. So it's me and you for the rest of the show. If you'd like to get in, lines open now. We'd love to hear from you, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls, 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric got a little under the weather, and so he went home, so it's just you and me if you were listening to the first part of the hour here. So said go home, rest up, and everything else. So hopefully he's better. Just wasn't feeling well. So we wish him the very, very best. Talking about the survey out there that Americans are more concerned with fake news than terrorism, and we just went through the whole fake news thing. Also coming up here, Nancy Pelosi tells Democrats she wants to see Trump in prison. Speaker Nancy Pelosi told senior Democrats she'd like to see President Donald Trump in prison as she clashed with House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Gavel Nadler in a meeting Tuesday night over whether to launch impeachment proceedings. Pelosi met with Nadler and several other top Democrats who were aggressively pursuing investigations against the president. According to multiple sources, Nadler and other committee leaders have been embroiled in a behind-the-scenes turf battle for weeks over ownership of the Democrats' sprawling investigation into Trump. Nadler pressed Pelosi to allow his committee to launch an impeachment inquiry against Trump, the second such request he's made in recent weeks, only to be rebuffed by the California Democrat and other senior leaders. Pelosi stood firm, reiterating that she isn't open to the idea of impeaching Trump at this time. I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison. For what? What's the crime? You know, this amazing thing, now they're talking impeachment, now she's talking prison. Please, somebody tell me what the crime is. Isn't this amazing that even after the... Who would have thought that even after the Mueller investigation and everything that's been done, the FBI investigation, the Mueller investigation, and the House, Pelosi's calling for him to be in prison, somebody identify to me what the crime is. Nobody can identify what the crime is. Still. And they're still on it.
Well, you got to give them credit.
They are persistent, are they not? They are a persistent little bunch. They can't explain anything, but they sure are a persistent little bunch. Put them in prison. I'm expecting one of the Democrats to call not prison, the death penalty. Prison isn't good enough. They never have to identify a crime. But now Pelosi is up to prison. For what? Just amazing. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Thank you so much for being here. This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. To impeach or not to impeach? Here's Gerald Nadler yesterday.
We are launching an inquiry now, and whether we'll launch an impeachment or inquiry, it may come to that.
What? What's he talking about? That after the story came out that Nancy Pelosi tells Democrats she wants to see Trump in prison. Now we're to prison and they still can't identify what the crime is. I'm sorry. It's getting to be pretty entertaining now. Go for it. Go ahead. I want to see him in prison. For what? Somebody name the crime. What's the crime?
He's an idiot.
Oh, really? Wow. We'd have a lot of people in jail if that was a crime, wouldn't we? I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison, Pelosi said. According to multiple Democrat sources familiar with the meeting, instead of impeachment, Pelosi still prefers to see Trump defeated at the ballot box and then prosecuted for his alleged crime, according to sources. What crimes? It just gets to be ludicrous. And here we are on the anniversary of D-Day, 75th anniversary of the Allied invasion of Normandy. The huge turning point in World War II. Was watching C-SPAN yesterday, one of the vigils that was going on yesterday, and plenty of vigils will be going on today, but 75 years. And I saw some of the paratroopers that actually jumped. Over Normandy, jumped again yesterday. So that was really, really cool to see. But the ultimate sacrifice made by so many thousands of Americans and Allied forces at Normandy. So keeping that memory alive and what happened on that day is so important. It really, really is. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in on the show today. Let's get to some of your calls and comments. As I told you, Eric got sick, and we said, look, go home. He wasn't feeling well at all, so he went home. So you and me here for a while. We've talked about a few things here, including socialism. We've had some fun talking about socialism recently. Let's head right to you. We go to Steve in Michigan. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I, um, a 31-year-old millennial, if you will call it that, from Michigan. And recently, Elizabeth Warren has came to town and espoused the virtues of socialism. And I don't think that I personally don't believe in what she's saying. She definitely wants to jail Trump because he's been, especially convicted in the eyes of the media for being a Republican in the office of the president. And I'm completely against everything that she's saying. I don't think that she's 100% correct. I would hope that my fellow people that have gone to school, I'm a graduate of college, and a lot of my friends are totally buying it on the fact that she's willing to give out free college to everybody and wipe away people's student loans, and they're just along for this whole socialism ride.
Well, here's what I would, if I was in a class of young people, the thing that I would say immediately is, because I don't believe that even young people are socialist. They may be practicing, as we said, there's two parts of socialism, the gimmeism and the takeyism. We created two new words on the show for this. The gimmeism is what everybody loves. Gimme, 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 gimme. The takeyism to pay for the gimmeism, nobody is for. And how I find is the easiest way to change young people's minds is ask them whether they believe they're going to collect their Social Security.
I know for sure I'm not going to.
So you get to that question, you say, "Will you collect your Social Security?" They go, "No, I'm not going to get it because it's a system where they raided the system." And then how can you have any confidence in the government providing you anything else if they cannot provide for Social? If you don't believe you're going to collect Social Security, how do you believe that all these free things are going to come your way? Thanks for your call. I do appreciate it. And, you know, keep up the fight. But it's that easy. Talk to any young person today. They all say, well, I'm not going to be able to collect Social Security. I think the government should provide me with free college. Well, wait a minute. You just said you're not going to be able to get Social Security. Look, the Medicare for All thing, which is now hitting its height in popularity with Democrats. We can't even do Medicare for Some. Medicare for All. We can't even do a system where people pay into it their entire lives until 65 years of age. And remember, how many people do not even reach in this country, don't even reach that age. Never. Grow old to be 65. How many people don't even... And still, in that system of Medicare, they still can't provide for all the benefits. All the benefits cannot be provided. The Democrats are promoting the fact of we're going to have Medicare for All where everything is free. We can't even do Medicare for Some when you pay into it for 40 years before you collect one single cent. And still then... the government doesn't have the resources to pay for it all. It's not hard to argue in public against what the Democrats are promoting and convince the young people who are most likely being conned by the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders. It's not hard to set their heads in the right direction. All you have to do is ask them that simple question. Do you believe you're going to collect Social Security? No, it's impossible. I can't collect Social Security. The numbers aren't there. I'll never collect. Then what makes you think you're going to be able to get? If we can't do that one program, and if you look at that, if you look at Social Security, remember, that's another program where you put into it for your entire life. And that's not sustainable. It's going to collapse upon itself. Medicare. We can't do that now. We can't even do Medicare for Some if you prepay for 40 years. Or 50 years, depending on how old you are.
when you first start working and paying into Medicare. And the government's and the Democrats are saying, oh, $24,000 a year. Oh, free college, no problem. Free medical care, no problem. We can't even do what we're doing now. Oh, we'll tax the rich to do it. Sorry, numbers don't work out. The only way you can do it is how we have tried to do it and still not succeeded in doing it, putting the debt on future generations. And still putting the debt on future generations, you can't cover it all. So if you want the easiest way, if you're looking, you've got young people say, I want all this. All you got to do is ask them, you believe you're going to. I've never met a young person that I've asked. I don't care, liberal or Democrat. You believe you're going to collect Social Security? Every one of them says nope or very, very reduced benefits. Every single one when you ask them. Nobody says, oh, yeah, I'm going to be able to collect Social Security. No problem at all. They all understand the problem. Then why are they under the delusion that everything else can be free? Point that out to them. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you'd like to get in, let us go to Chad in Washington, D.C. Chad, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to bring it back to this crazy accusation that they're trying to say that they're going to imprison Trump and bring this hammer down upon him. And, like, it's just so crazy because as far as I've seen, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm 30 years old, so I don't have the greatest political experience, but I haven't seen a president do more for the criminal justice system than Trump is doing. And they're trying to say that, like, in some way that he belongs in the system when we're seeing our guys like Paul Manafort is being subjected to solitary confinement. And Trump understands what this means, and he's trying to reverse these draconian practices.
Well, remember, there's two separate things, and they actually don't relate. You're bringing up two things that don't relate: the criminal justice system, okay, and how we should treat people in jail, and the fact that they are saying that Trump has committed a criminal act. They're two separate things.
Yeah.
Trump committing a criminal act, as I've said, what's the act? Nobody can tell you. Nobody can. They'll sit there and say obstruction of justice.
It's almost as if he has the right foresight to see what the criminal justice system could be.
Again, for some reason, you keep bringing up two separate things. One thing is what we should do with people who commit crimes and how we should treat them in prison. The other one is they're accusing him of a crime, and they can't define what the crime is. They say obstruction of justice, but every time we have, again, we've done it. How many hundreds of times have we gone through the obstruction of justice on the show? There was no original crime. There was no underlying crime. So the intent couldn't have been there to hide something because there was no underlying crime. There was no obstructing. The president cooperated completely with whatever the special counsel wanted, including everybody being interviewed. And the president never broke a law to try to obstruct justice or hide anything. You have nothing. And so Pelosi talking about putting him in prison, and you're like, for what? What's the crime? Still today. That's the amazing thing. Still today. 2.5 years later. After the Mueller report is done, and they're still talking about Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, I want to see him in jail. For what crime? I told you, they're nuts. They're nuts. Seriously. Well, that Trump can be pretty unstable. Really? Have you checked the other side? They've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And there's the Speaker of the House. Could you imagine the media if the Speaker of the House was a Republican? If Paul Ryan was saying that Obama, he wants to see Obama in jail, and Paul Ryan could not even identify what the crime was, could you imagine the media and how ballistic they would have been if Paul Ryan said something like that about Obama?
Just unbelievable. Line open if you'd like to get in. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on inspections. Odds increase that you'll be pulled over for a roadside inspection during CVSA's annual International Road Check, June 4th through the 6th. Standard inspections will include a comprehensive examination of the vehicle and all required documentation. Each year, CVSA places a special emphasis on one area of the vehicle or driver. This year, the focus is on steering and suspension systems. But don't stop there. Be sure that everything is ready to go. Remember that before you hit the road, you must be satisfied that basic parts and accessories are in good working order. Making sure the vehicle is in operating shape before leaving helps reduce the chances of discovering dangerous issues when it's too late. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us on jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is under the weather, so it's me and you tonight. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, we would love to hear from you. If you wonder why, I mean, the Democrats now going crazy over impeachment again after a little bit of a lull. Nancy Pelosi, according to reports, telling a meeting of Democrats that she doesn't want to impeach. She wishes to see the president in prison. I keep thinking, you know, when people ask, you know, why do you think Democrats are responding to that? And I go to the outlaw Josie Wales, and all I can think of is the old man behind the trailer when when Clint Eastwood's sitting there and he's at the top of the mountain with the white flag and the rifle up in the air. And the old man, the old Native American man, looks at the woman who's under captive and said, "Hell is coming to breakfast." And I think that's what they're afraid of right now, because everything that, and we'll get to this here in just a little bit with Christopher Steele now testifying, and we'll get to that. You've got to have a lot of Democrats that are frankly that served in the Obama administration, whether it's Comey or Brennan or Clapper or McCabe, that are extremely nervous about what is going on, because Barr is going to get to the truth, and they don't want the truth to be known. They don't want full transparency across the board. And I do believe that the Democrats understand now what's coming down, and they believe that the only way that they possibly can divert attention of the media and the American public away from where William Barr, the Attorney General, will be going is to have an impeachment inquiry, because impeachment will trump all if they do that. It's not, they know they're not going to get him out of office, and it's not even about to put a stain on him. They're trying to deflect the attention away from what is going to come down from the Attorney General of the United States. And I believe they wish to do it now because I believe they know the Inspector General's report is coming out. And they're afraid what might be in the Inspector General's report, which could be coming out. I mean, look, Scuttlebutt has said it was early as this week. But it's supposed to be, remember, supposed to be late May, early June. We're now to early June. And so I think they want to get the, because as soon as they start doing any type of impeachment inquiry and having hearings, the media is going to be all over it. There will be no other topic that they will be discussing. And anything Barr does, they hope will be, they don't care what legally happens down the road. They just want to keep the attention on Trump, they believe, until 2020. But as we said, there is no crime. There is no crime. None. You can't find a crime. If you can't find a crime, what are you going to do? And they haven't even said. You notice when they're talking about it now, they're not saying, here's the specific crime. as we said with the impeachment of Clinton, they claim it was sex. We all know it wasn't. He lied to a grand jury. That's very easy to understand. It's the crime. There it is. It's very specific. You may disagree with it and say it doesn't rise to high crimes and misdemeanors, but the fact is you can identify what the actual crime is, what the wrongdoing is. They can't with Trump. They don't know. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this blows up by tomorrow. If you'd like to get in, lines open, we'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Join the Mind Meld, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Back to Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
And he's Eric. He has the morning off. He's under the weather. We hope he feels better and is back for tomorrow's show. I'm here talking about Nancy Pelosi saying, I don't want the president impeached. I want the president in prison. By the way, one of the other reasons I think that Pelosi is, you know, is taking the opposite view is she, if you ask most people in this country what impeachment means, they believe it means removal from office. I think part of her fear is that, look, Pelosi knows there's no identified crime. She was just whether she was frustrated with them and said, I want to see him in prison. As we said, what's the crime? She knows that even if they succeeded in impeaching him, it's not going to be out of office and he will be stronger, his base. She also understands that the majority of Americans, she believes, have no idea what impeachment is. When you tell them impeachment, they believe that the president will be removed from office. When he isn't, they're still going to be angry and frustrated, and it can come back to haunt the Democrats. The Democrats are just so ticked off because they lost an election that they thought was guaranteed. And they're so livid. And they thought that the Mueller report, they've been convinced because they've been told that Trump colluded with the Russians, which does bring me back to something that Eric and I have talked about many times before. The selling of the dossier, and we talked about Elizabeth Farkas from the Pentagon, and when she was on MSNBC, I believe it was March or April of 2017, and she was talking about, you know, in such an optimistic way, how they wanted to get this information out, this information that showed that Trump colluded with the Russians. And at that point, we didn't, you know, we were still trying to figure out what was this information. It ended up, it was all from the dossier. It was all false. And so this is a question, if you're looking at it from an investigator's point of view and not a partisan point of view, because everyone will say, well, if you're a partisan, well, Obama had to know and Obama was behind it and he knew it was a fake and everybody was in on it. And we said, we don't know that. I don't know that as an investigator. If I'm looking at it from an investigator's point of view, I don't know that. And Eric and I have asked this question. How many people knew that it was not legit, but sold it to other people in the Obama administration that it was? Clearly, they convinced a ton of people in Congress that it was legit. That the information that they had on Trump was legit, that he colluded with the Russians to hack the election machines, because that was, remember, that was the first allegation that was out there. And they were out there, and we go back to the Elizabeth Farkas interview on MSNBC going back to April of 17, because, or March, whatever it was spring of 2017, and the excitement that you could see in her, yeah, and we had it, and we, Eric and I have always asked the question, Did she know that it was fake, or was it sold by credible people to gullible people? Was it sold by a Comey? Was it sold by a Brennan? Did he go, this is legit intelligence? This is, okay, fine, we're not going to question it. You're the head of the CIA. You're the head of the FBI. You're the deputy head of counterintelligence. You're in the State Department. You wouldn't lie to us. And all of a sudden, you've got all these people that want to believe and then believed that the information that came from the dossier was legit. Because we've always asked this question, if everybody knew that it was fake, would it have had the legs that it had for as long as it had the legs? And that's looking at it, again, not as in a political way, but strictly an investigative way. How do you communicate a message? You get people that are credible who can sell it to people who aren't going to question you. So along the line, you have that core of people that know that the dossier is fake, that know they can't verify it, but they sell it. And that's the whole debate that was going on a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, Comey saying that Brennan was selling it, Brennan saying that Comey was selling it as legit. And as Trey Gowdy said, sometimes when two people are making that accusation, both are right. But he said Comey probably had a better case, saying that Brennan was attempting to sell that Russian prop. Think about this. The head of the CIA, going out of his way to legitimize Russian propaganda and intelligence. Because that would be my question. When Obama opened up all the intelligence agencies to share information, in January of 17, right before the inauguration, why did he do that? Was he told by Brennan, we've got this damning information, it's legit intelligence? Because people have called the show and said, well, Obama had to know. Maybe he did. But I don't know that as an investigator. But if he opened it up, maybe somebody told him and he believed that. I'm not trying to let anybody off the hook. I'm looking at this as an investigator. That's not our point, is not to let anybody off the hook and not to put absolute blame on anybody. These are the questions that we ask, looking at it from an investigative point of view. That was it a few credible people who sold it to the masses of Democrats out there? Because they were successful in doing it, because 60% of Democrats believe, as of just a few months ago, still believed that the Russians hacked into the election machines. So they were convincing. They sold a falsehood, and people believed it. And so what you have are all these masses that Trump had to do something wrong. But when you look at the evidence, all the evidence shows, so far, all the evidence shows that Trump didn't do anything wrong, that all the information used by the opposition was false. So you can say he was set up, or you can say that the FBI and the intelligence agencies were completely and totally 100% incompetent. It's either one of them. They were either completely and totally incompetent. Oh, there's actually three. They were either completely and totally incompetent, or they set him up, or both. Red Eye, if you'd like to get in, let's go to Jay in Detroit. Jay, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to know if, does Obama got a green card, no matter what, like a political green card, where the politics are so strong that they would keep him protected no matter what? Just like Feinstein's Chinese driver. If anyone should be in prison, I would think they ought to look at Feinstein a little closer.
Well, we like to stick on the one case, but bringing the Feinstein case up and relating it to this case is the fact, as soon as they found out that the driver long-term they had suspected, they went right to her. That's what you do in a counterintelligence investigation. They didn't say, okay, let's do a wiretap to see who we can catch in that office doing something. They told her, we believe that you have a spy who's been working for you long term. And at that particular point, that's, you know, that's how it's done. They didn't do that to Trump. They didn't go to Trump and say, look, you know why they did? Because Papadopoulos and Carter Page were nothing burgers in the campaign. They were volunteers. They were low-level volunteers. They weren't in the upper management. They weren't somebody who had close ties and talking to Trump every day. They never met Trump. And from what I know, they never directly communicated with Trump. Feinstein's driver obviously did, right? So you could actually look at that and say, well, you'd have much more of a reason to not tell her because maybe she was involved in it. As I've said, I've always looked at Carter Page and Papadopoulos, which is why I've always been suspect, because they've always been wanting to, they have been, I think, in their positions, they were very self-promoting. And so I've always been a little wary. I don't know, they could end up being totally credible, but as in from the investigative mindset, I've always looked at it and gone, I don't know. But I've always looked at them is if the banking regulators are looking at the management of a bank, and so they try to get into the bank to find out what the bank is doing by going to a branch office and talking to a couple of tellers. That's how I've always viewed it. Because they were not major players in the campaign at all. They were low-level volunteers. So it's going to be fascinating to see what goes on over the next 6 months. Be fascinating to see what we get with the Inspector General's report here in the next couple of weeks. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Always remember that if you can't listen live, you can listen 24/7. So many different ways to listen, including our website, redeyeradioshow.com, and also our app available in Android. If you've got an iPhone available there for Apple and everything else. So we're covered. 24/7, you can listen to us. 866-90-RED-EYE if you'd like to get in. I really do believe that part of the panic from the Democrats wanting to have an impeachment inquiry is because of how fast William Barr's investigation is moving, including the fact that even over the last 2 days, I think there's a sense of urgency, especially when they know that Christopher Steele is now going to talk to federal investigators. Steele is the guy, in case you don't know, as we've always stated, to have the entire flow chart. The Hillary campaign and the DNC took campaign money, gave it to a law firm who ended up funneling it to an organization that paid a former British spy who got information from the inside the Kremlin, Russian intelligence and propaganda that was then used to get a FISA warrant, and then that information was used in an attempt to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election. I've said that for 2 years. Nobody's debated it. Not one Democrat has debated. You can't debate that point. By the way, I think the Republicans should be saying that over and over and over again, but time and time again, as we said, the Republicans are just horrible in messaging. Horrible in messaging. It's so easy, and they seem to fail at doing it. But I think that the fact that Christopher Steele now, and this is where I think Barr is going to be great, because Barr, to me, this is why I like Barr. He's always on message. He always has the proper message 100% of the time. Remember I told you my dad told me, when you get in the arena of public ideas, whenever you're at work, whenever you open it up, you open up your mouth, make sure you're right 100% of the time. And I remember telling him, you can't. He goes, well, no, that's, you shut your mouth unless you're sure that you're right. You can never be right 100% of the time, but you shut your mouth until you know you can. And if you can't be 100% right, you say, no comment or not sure about that yet. We're still looking into it. And Barr is just, he's beautiful at communicating the messages that he wishes to communicate. Right now, I will say this. I mean, he's, to me, he's following the rule of law, but there is no better asset in the Trump administration right now than Attorney General Barr. He may agree with the president, but that's because it agrees with the law. Coming up following the top of the hour, I will get to Alan Dershowitz on Fox News last night and just trying to pay attention to what he is saying. The questions that federal investigators should ask Christopher Steele. But now the guy who actually got the information and then told other people, including the FBI, that he had the information, he will be out there speaking to federal investigators. I do believe that that's why you had, over the last couple of days, that sense of urgency from Democrats that we have to start an impeachment inquiry, even if we have no idea where it's going to lead. We need to deflect. The media will go with us. They'll pay attention to what we're saying. And Barr's got some damning stuff coming down the road. And we need to divert attention from that to the possible impeachment of the president, even if we can't accomplish that.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric is out sick today. So it's me and you. To prove my point that we were talking about last hour, and what we said, was it the day after the Mueller report? Because we've said it a number of times. But we have said that expect that the Democrats will go to lengths that you have never seen before because they know where William Barr, the Attorney General, is going. And they believe that it has the potential to be massively destructive to their campaign to win the White House in 2020, and in general, just terrible for their political party. We have talked about Nancy Pelosi and the story out there that she said she doesn't want to see the president impeached. She wishes to see him in prison. We have talked about nobody can even identify still today as they talk impeachment inquiry. Nobody can tell you what crime the president has committed, what the high crime and misdemeanor is. And this story that was in the Washington Examiner the other day, though, shows you where I believe that they are headed. There may be no crime, high crime and misdemeanor, but the president is unfit to serve in office. Washington Examiner had this story a couple of days ago. Democrats are planning to host a Capitol Hill event featuring psychiatrists who will warn that President Trump is unfit for office based on his mental health. No surprise that it's happening this summer. I believe they want the impeachment inquiry and this going on at the same time. And when it comes to evidence to impeach, don't be surprised if some of the people in this conference testify. The event will be led by Dr. Bandy Lee, a Yale School of Medicine psychiatrist and editor of The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, a book that argues psychiatrists have a responsibility to warn the public when a president is dangerous. Now, this position is controversial because psychiatric associations urge members never to diagnose patients that haven't personally evaluated, saying it undermines the scientific rigor of the profession. But Lee, this is the sentence that got me, but Lee and others who agree with her stance say that their description of the president's behavior, of his showing mental instability and dangerousness, shouldn't be interpreted as issuing a diagnosis. Just that sentence alone proves that Dr. Lee is mentally incapable of being a psychiatrist. I'll repeat it again, but Lee and others who agree with her stance say their description of the president's behavior and his showing of mental instability and dangerousness shouldn't be interpreted as a diagnosis. Well, how the hell else would you take it? You'd take it as a diagnosis. The fact that that's your opinion shows that you are mentally incapable of being a psychiatrist, because you're saying one, you're trying to sell one thing when in reality you're selling another. You're not being honest. The president's condition has been visibly deteriorating to the point where there's a lot of talk right now about his mental state beyond mental health professionals, Lee said. It no longer takes a mental health professional to recognize the seriousness of the current presidency. The date for the town hall has not been set, but would be held immediately soon within the next couple of weeks, said Lee, who said the event was meant to be bipartisan. Budget Committee Chairman John Yarmuth, the Democrat for Kentucky, who was called for Trump's impeachment, confirmed the event was in the works, but said it would be more likely to occur in July because lawmakers have a full plate in June with spending bills. We are planning on putting together an event, Yarmuth said. She's calling it a town hall. We haven't actually determined the format, but it's going to be an event where she is going to present her findings and the media will be invited. Yarmuth said every House member would be invited, but that he hasn't yet gauged who would be interested because not many people knew about it. Lee said the group would reconsider the event if no Republicans plan to show up. According to Lee, attendees at the town hall would watch a condensed video that was recorded at a Washington, D.C. event held at the National Press Club in March that featured 13 experts discussing how they didn't think Trump was fit for office. The experts, who came from the fields of mental health, philosophy, history, and journalism, said they worried about the president's access to nuclear weapons and the impact his administration would have on climate change. So part of it, part of the reasoning for the president's mental instability is because the president's view on climate change. Like I said, they're nuts. They are absolutely nuts. The nuts are evaluating the normal people. Just amazing. But this is where they're going. They don't have a crime. So what are they going for? He's unfit for president. And this is the start right here. They want an impeachment inquiry going on. Nadler and others, They want the impeachment inquiry going on, and they want things like this in the nightly news. A group of experts. Yeah, experts. A group of nutcases. Think about that. The experts who came from fields of mental health, philosophy, history, and journalism said they were worried about the president's access to nuclear weapons and the impact his administration would have on climate change. That's why he's unfit for office, because his opinion, one of the reasons he's unfit for office, according to this group of experts, this, they would watch this video to make their case, and part of it is the impact his administration would have on climate change that makes him unfit to serve as president. Lee said the event is to allow members of Congress to ask her and other experts questions. The planners hope the town hall will be broadcast live so that people who aren't in D.C. would be able to watch and submit questions. Lee said the experts won't make specific recommendations about whether Congress should consider invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the president from office, or whether they would do so by impeachment. Yarmouth said to him the event was a separate question from impeachment. I don't think an assessment of someone's mental health is an impeachable issue. To hell you don't. So there's where you want to know where they're going? There's where they're going. Let's put it this way. This is their insurance policy. They hope to be able to finagle some kind of argument for impeachment on a high crime and misdemeanor. And when they don't get there, this is the Democrats forming their insurance policy that he is unfit. So if you wonder where they're going, if you're saying, well, where would they go with this? This is where they're going. And none of this surprises me at all. It shows the level of panic inside the Democrat Party right now. Granted, it is about the fact that they were sold a bill of goods. Their own party sold them a bill of goods. The Obama administration sold them a bill of goods that Trump colluded, that Trump was a traitor. They thought they had him. They were convinced he was a traitor because they were told he was a traitor over and over and over and over and over again. That failed. So where are they going? Are they talking here about Trump being a traitor? No. Are they talking about Trump being a traitor even in the impeachment questions with the Democrats? No. They're not even talking about obstruction of justice anymore. Now they're moving to, the goalposts continually move. And by the way, they move and they go around in circles too, because they come back around with the same thing again, because this unfit for office was something that's, what, a year and a half old? We've already dealt with this, so let's bring it back up again. But we'll do it during impeachment. We'll do it during, hopefully, the impeachment inquiry. Wow. Yep. The patients are running the asylum. If you want to get in, we do have a line open. Would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. He's under the weather this morning, so it's me and you. We go to Linda on Long Island. Linda, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Now that I hear about this deceit and stupidity, the thing that Trump should do is just go on the offensive and go see a psychiatrist.
No, he shouldn't.
And have himself declare. He went for a physical. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, he should.
He should have just declared.
No.
Yeah, he should. What's wrong with that?
No, he doesn't.
And they can't use stupidity.
No, you don't play the game. That happened already. He already had his physical, and the doctor said he was fine back then. You don't need to do it again.
He didn't see a psychiatrist.
Doesn't need to.
There's nothing wrong.
Doesn't need. No,
Doesn't need to. You don't play the game. Disagree. You do not play that game. Absolutely do not play the game. Look, if we suggested that Obama was mentally unfit because he lied to the American public about their health care and then made a deal with the world's largest exporter of terrorism and unfroze their assets to ensure that they got $150 billion in order to continue their nuclear program, and I felt that he was mentally incapable of serving because of that, should he have gone to a psychiatrist? No. Linda, that's a ridiculous idea. Absolutely ridiculous. No, you do not play their game at all. You don't play it back and forth. Because when he does that, they'll say, well, we want him to see our psychiatrist. He picked the one of his... You don't get into that game. You don't do it. Don't play their game. We've said this over and over again. We say this with Republicans all the time. Don't play their same game. Don't play their same game. But absolutely not. It's the last thing that he should ever do. He should ignore them and look at them and say, excuse me? Let's start picking some of the positions and things that they stand for. That sounds quite unstable to me. I'd start out with saying every one of them supported the Equality Act, which says that men at any time can say they are women and we must recognize them as women, even on the athletic field. That if a man says he's a woman, that makes him a woman. I think that's pretty mentally unstable to have that opinion when scientifically that is shown to be completely and totally untrue. I believe that every single one of those Democrats should undergo counseling. Now, the transgender activist groups would go crazy at that, but that's the point we've always said. And we've always said, look, do whatever you want to do. Don't try to convince me that your thought process, where you may believe that you are the opposite sex, does not make you the opposite sex and doesn't make you it legally. Right, we're talking about the track star, the CC Telfer, is it, who won the hurdles and said it's actually harder for a male to compete against females because he's taller. By the way, thank you for all the people that brought all the great track stars that are 6'4 and 6'5. Somebody said because they're taller, the wind resistance gives the women an advantage. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And here they are, all the Democrats. Remember, on the Equality Act, remember, it's the Democrats and the liberals that have viewed now and the LGBT have viewed Martina Navratilova as the oppressor. Because she says women are women and men are men. You may think what you want, and God bless you. Go ahead. Go whatever you believe you would. Go ahead. Live your life. Not going to tell you what to do. Don't make me believe it, and don't put it in law. Put it in law. That's nuts. By the judgment of what Democrats view as unfit and nuts, mentally unfit, by their standard, that's nuts. The president should go to us. Come on, people. Do some thinking, for gosh sakes. No, 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 no. I don't know why, but this seems perfectly suitable now to bring up on the show. Just very quickly. From ABC San Francisco. Millennials admit they're afraid of doorbells. I don't know why, but that fits perfect. They're all mentally unfit to serve anywhere, in any position, at any job. And, oh, no, I'm afraid of the doorbell. The doorbell rings, I go and hide. Should doorbells be a thing of the past? Some millennials say yes. They find doorbells terrifying. According to a hilarious Twitter thread, they prefer a simple text saying, I'm here. This all started when someone brought up the issue in a tweet, and people started chiming in saying doorbells are as outdated as voice calls. Others say they hide when someone rings the doorbell. In fact, the Wall Street Journal did a story on the topic a few years ago saying that millennials are so used to texting upon arrival that the sound of a ringing doorbell freaks them out. Well, then all of you are mentally unfit to ever serve as President of the United States. Tell me where I'm wrong. If you want to get in, we do have a line open. 866-90-RED-EYE. It is time for your national forecast.
Tropical moisture in the Gulf of Mexico from an area not expected to develop into a hurricane off South Texas is going to spread some heavy rain across areas already saturated. Flash flooding is certainly possible and expected in the lower delta of the Mississippi. Isolated severe thunderstorms, damaging winds, large hail possible with that system. We'll see Seattle under rain chances today, 62. Cheyenne, Wyoming, where there's been some very interesting weather this week, including large hail and tornadoes aloft, 76 today, the high, with a chance of thunderstorms. Phoenix, 102 and clear. Chicago, 63 and partly cloudy. As you get up into the northeast, we'll see heavy rain today from the New England states in through Boston and New York City. Lighter chances of rain extending from the mid-Atlantic into the Carolinas. There's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Pockets of civilization. You can listen live on our app, in your app store, or redeyeradioshow.com. Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara. I'm here. Eric has the morning off. He's under the weather. It's you and me. Well, I'm still trying to get over the last caller. I know. I'm not, you know, I understand. She's trying to make a point that in order to show them, Trump should go see a psychiatrist. No. You don't play the Democrats game. I simply brought that topic up to show you how desperate they are. This is how incredibly desperate they are, because they, number one, they bought in to all the hype over the last couple of years that Trump had committed treason. They bought into fake news is what they did. And they also know what's coming down now. Now that it was all fake news, now that it was all untrue, now that we know Trump did not at all collude or conspire with the Russians in any way to change the outcome of the election, and now that we know that by the Democrat standards, the Democrats did, and the Attorney General is looking into it, they are panicking. That's why they want, Gerald Nadler wants the impeachment inquiry. That's why they had the fight. That's why Nancy Pelosi, according to the report, said she doesn't want to impeach Trump. She wants him in prison. As I said, for what crime? And now they've gone beyond the crime. And the Democrats plan in July to bringing mental health professionals all together for a town hall to talk about how Trump is unfit to serve in office. This is the panic that they have. Now, as we all know, and with the story over the last 48 hours that Christopher Steele is going to talk to investigators, I got a couple of audio cuts here that I want to play. This first one comes from CNN. And this is Matthew Rosenberg, national security reporter for The Times,
on CNN, and they get into discussion as to why he would be testifying, because that's actually one of the questions. Why does he want to speak and do an interview, which would be under oath, with federal investigators?
Matthew, let's bring you back in here, because you speak to people who are close to Christopher Steele often. You know, Christopher Steele, by the way, is the ex-British spy behind the Trump-Russia dossier. What are you hearing about this reporting from the British newspaper, The Times, that he'll be talking to DOJ investigators? What do you know about that?
I mean, what I've been told is it's the investigators who are close to this Inspector General investigation, and that's who he's going to be talking to. I mean, he is incredibly concerned, maybe obsessed, that this investigation is going to throw him under the bus. And his view, at least according to people close to him, is, look, I was working on this dossier other people were paying for. I saw things that the Democrats were paying for. I saw things that seemed frightening to me and alarming. I went to old contacts of the FBI to tell them. I wasn't a paid source in this case. That's his view of it, and that he was simply helping them out. And what they did with it, if they misused it in a FISA or whatever they did, he had nothing to do with that, which is to a degree true. He's not part of that process. He was simply a source of information. And I think he's acutely concerned that he's going to be thrown under the bus here.
By who? By DOJ? Well, no, he's talking to them. Does he believe he's going to be thrown under the bus by Comey and Brennan? And by members of the Obama administration? By the way, he said, Rosenberg said, that these are investigators close to the Inspector General. We've been told it's Durham out of Connecticut, that it isn't the Inspector General. It is the federal attorney out of Connecticut. He said the opposite there. I guess we shall see. But Christopher Steele, he is saying, will meet with them because he's, quote, he's incredibly concerned, maybe obsessed, that this investigation is going to throw him under the bus. Okay. Eric and I asked that question yesterday, because why would we be testifying? Because we said, look, the possible law breaking and wrongdoing is with the government officials. Anybody, you can go and you can get information from the French, the Chinese, and you can use that and you can give that information to whoever you want about whatever political candidate you want. There's nothing against the law in doing that. So who does he feel is going to throw him under the bus? Now, it really doesn't matter what he thinks as long as he's willing to talk and tell the truth. Right? It really doesn't matter what his motivation is. Is his fear if he doesn't talk to the Department of Justice, the Department of Justice is going to throw him under the bus? I don't know. I would probably say that I'm going to guess that Attorney General Barr, the least concern he has is that Christopher Steele did any wrongdoing. He wants to find out if anybody in the intelligence agencies, the FBI and the Department of Justice, did wrongdoing, because that's the people in the government. Alan Dershowitz was on Fox News yesterday and was asked what questions the Department of Justice needs to ask Steele. And we have said, look, the biggest question would be, when did you know that it was not true, and did you express your doubts, or did you know it was not true? And if you knew it was not true, when did you know it was not true? And the when is very important. And Dershowitz agrees with that.
Well, I'm glad he's testifying, or at least appearing in front of the Justice Department. I think the questions they'll put to him in order to try to protect the investigation will be based on chronology. You know, when did you realize that the report wasn't as valid and solid as you originally thought it was? When did you learn that it was paid for by Democrats and that wasn't disclosed? Because what he said up to now is the report itself is not valid. But what we need to know is when they knew it and what they did about it.
So there you go. And he was on Fox News last night, Dershowitz was. So I think really when you combine all these topics we've been talking about here the last hour together, I really think that this is what has the Democrats charged up. I think this is what has Nadler charged up. There is a huge concern within the Democrats going into the 2020 election. They've got to do something. We had warned everybody that to expect something like this, that they're just going to be off the rails. They're going to be going after him for anything. And they, if they do go down the impeachment road, and again, we knew there were Democrats that wanted to, and we knew there were Democrats that did not want to. And I still believe that Pelosi believes it's the wrong way to go, because I think she believes that if they go down that, they're not going to find anything. And if they try to impeach him for just being unfit, well, then you impeach him and he's still in office. And that's the other thing, that the majority of people in this country, if you ask them what impeachment is, they'll say that's where the president gets kicked out of office. And it's not. Impeachment is simply the House process of impeaching him. But people don't know that. And so if they go through and waste all this time and energy to impeach him, and they still have nothing, and they have no identifiable crime, and they decide to revert back to, well, he's unfit for office. Whoa. Nancy Pelosi knows that will kill Democrat chances of ever getting the Senate and may lose them the House. But I think there are some Democrats that are just, they bought the narrative of treason for such a long time from the president, and they also want to deflect. There's a group of them that understand how serious Barr is and what this investigation may do to the Democrat Party and the Democrat brand for 2020. They believe that it has the potential to be extremely damaging and damning to the Obama administration and therefore Democrats. And remember, if it's this is one thing that we talked about Biden earlier and the four strikes he has put on himself this week already. Not even three strikes, he went to four strikes. But if this is laid right in the lap of the Obama administration and goes to the White House, goes as high as the White House, and Biden is the guy, Democrats don't want that. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. He has the morning off. He's under the weather. Wish him well. Hope he's well. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Rod in Plymouth, Michigan. Rod, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Gary. It seems as though Steele actually did commit a crime, and he committed a $14 million fraud with information that he knew from the very beginning was not legitimate.
Who would charge him? Fraud against whom?
Well, it'd be fraud against basically the Hillary Clinton campaign, wouldn't it?
I don't believe the Clinton campaign is going to go after him for fraud.
Absolutely. But, you know, Steele is not going to be charged. He never was in front of the FISA court, and the FBI, they knew that this information, this dossier, was not from him to, as the FISA court and the people who brought that into the FISA court, whether they knew it was legitimate or not.
Right. But as for Steele being guilty of fraud legally, if I do opposition research and it's false, you simply say, I want my money back. You've asked for opposition research. That's what I've got. I'm not sure of it. Some of it may be true, but here's what I have. That's different than going before that business transaction is different than going before a FISA court. Like I said, I don't know why Steele, because that's what we're talking about. What would be Steele's motivation? Why does he wish to talk to investigators if he knows he can't be charged with something? Which is why I'm trying to figure out if he could be charged with something, which is why I sort of asked that question. But what is his motivation? Some have said, well, this is the business that he's in, and he wants to return to it, and that's what he does is sell information. Well, I don't care what he does now. It's not going to change his reputation of the dossier. Everybody knows it was unverified and false.
Well, this is getting very interesting. You guys are following it really well. And
thanks.
You do pick out. I'm just trying to contribute by thinking there must be.
Oh, I know. That's right. But we're not having a debate. I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, could it be? Because I don't know. I don't know what his motivation is unless he thinks that Comey and Brennan and Clapper and McCabe, that it's their attorneys that are going to try to turn it on Steele and blame Steele. That, to me, would be his motivation. Not that he's afraid the Department of Justice is going to throw him under the bus, but he's afraid that everybody else is going to throw him under the bus. At Fusion GPS, at Glenn Simpson, that Nellie Orr, that Bruce Orr, that everybody that was, you know, related, you know, in some way to Fusion GPS and all the way up the line will throw him under the bus and say that guy's to blame, not us.
But, you know, they all came out and said that this was not the main reason that they took the reasons that they took to the FISA court to get these warrants more than once. So what are they don't have a plan. They don't have they just don't have their own.
Well, the thing
together,
is,
you know?
We have seen the redacted FISA application. It was unless the part that has been redacted. Unless that contains completely different information, which we're told it does not, in the actual FISA application, the substance of what they got that FISA warrant was based on the dossier.
It's going to be interesting. Thanks, Gary.
It is. I know. It is going to be interesting. Yeah, we went over that a couple of weeks ago. I forgot who in National Review, I think it was National Review, went point by point by point and broke down the whole FISA, FISA application from what people have seen of it, and said the part, there's a page or two, I believe, I'm doing this from memory here, the caller just brought it up, that was redacted. They said, but what they're told is by people that have seen the unredacted part, that doesn't change it, that the dossier was all part of it. The dossier was the major substance of getting the FISA warrant against Carter Page, that there wasn't other stuff. Or the other stuff had nothing to do with actual evidence or probable cause. It was just, as we had pointed out, just generalities of, well, the Russians are known to have wanting to influence the election. In fact, we read parts of that actually said that. But when you get down to the substance of it, unless the redacted part of it says something different, and those that have seen it says it does not, the dossier was the vast majority of the probable cause that they used to get that FISA warrant.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.